Venerable religious, dear parishioners, the epistle and gospel, as we may well imagine, are always put by the church for a specific reason. And I would like to share with you what I believe are the reasons why this epistle and gospel are in the Sunday that immediately precedes the holy season of Lent. We know that the three areas in which we need to have a good Lenten observance is in the area of fasting and corporal discipline, also in the area of prayer, and also in the area of charity. And we see this beautifully portrayed in the three Sundays before Lent. St. Paul talked about chastising the body on Septuagesima Sunday. So there's the emphasis on fasting and giving things up. Last Sunday was about the seed of the Word of God. And although our Lord did not use the word prayer, we know that prayer is what preserves the seed of God, and we nurture it, we foster it, we can make it grow better through prayer. And then St. Paul gives us this marvelous discourse on charity, and this to motivate us to almsgiving, to doing works of charity during Lent. So that's why this epistle is here. And I've had the opportunity this past year to study this epistle a little bit more, this particular segment, and I'm hoping to convey to you what a masterful piece of literature this is. Most importantly, it's the inspired Word of God. And every book of the Bible is, of course, the inspired Word of God. That's why it's in the Bible. And God was moving the mind of each of the writer, whether it was one of the evangelists or St. Paul or one of the prophets or Moses, God was speaking to the mind of the writer. If he hadn't, then it wouldn't be the inspired Word of God. But God also allowed for the individual character of the writer to shine. So you might say God was inspiring the writer with a general idea, but he didn't tell him what words to use, at least not in all cases. And St. Paul, of course, was educated. He was well-versed in the Roman tradition, the Greek tradition, and of course his own Jewish tradition. And in this marvelous testament, you might say, on charity, he uses the power of three. And this is something that we more easily remember, we relate to the threes. We can remember groups of three. So he starts it off by giving us three sentences, three scenarios to tell us what charity is not. So there again, the power of the three. Speaking of tongues, it's the first one. Prophecy and all faith is the second scenario. Distributing goods and delivering body to be burned without charity, it's nothing. I'm a big zero, he says, without charity. No matter how great these works are objectively. He does, of course, give us lists of four, but look, just try to notice the groups of three that are here, and we'll see what he's going to be leading up to. Thinks no evil, rejoices, does not rejoice over wickedness, rejoices with the truth. And then another sentence in which we see the power of the three. Charity never fails, whereas, and then he gives us three things. Prophecies will disappear, tongues will cease, and knowledge will be destroyed. And that But even before those three are mentioned, charity never fails. This is why I do not believe the saying, and I don't think anybody else should, is that somebody's fallen out of love. If somebody falls out of love, then it really never was love to begin with. It was just an intense romantic thing, a passing feeling. Charity never fails. True love cannot stop loving. Something to think about as Valentine's Day comes up this week. Such a big day. Everybody's so involved, you know, with all the good feeling, you know, the romantic aspect. And why is it that people giving one another a Valentine's Day card one year, next year, or years down the road can't stand them? True charity would have never failed. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. The power of the three. And why does St. Paul use the power of the three in this epistle? Because of what he's leading up to. The great three, the great trinity of the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. So he uses the power of the three throughout this 13th chapter because he's needing to explain to us that all-important three at the end. And he tells us that the greatest of these is charity. And remember, charity is self-sacrificing. It's not just about a romantic or passing feeling. Charity is the greatest, and it will last forever. It needs to be repeated. In heaven, there is no faith and there is no hope because they're not needed. We can't just believe anymore because we're experiencing God directly, face to face, those who persevere and get to heaven. So faith disappears. And how can you hope for something you already have? You hope to get to heaven. You hope to be with God. Somebody who perseveres in grace is there, so how can there be any more hope? It's gone. But for all eternity, love will abide. So let this epistle inspire us to works of charity. In the limited time we have on earth, how much good can we accomplish? And let's go back to the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. That's how we practice charity towards our neighbor. Now, why this Gospel of St. Luke, this Sunday before Lent begins? Our Lord tells the apostles about what's going to happen, that he's going to be delivered to the Gentiles, mocked, scourged, spit upon, scourged, and put to death. And we're told that they didn't understand it. They didn't believe him. They thought he was speaking in a metaphor. They still had these ideas that Jesus is going to be a powerful king who's going to crush his enemies and bring back the glory of the days of King David and King Solomon. They were blind. That was the problem. They were blind to what our Lord was really teaching. And this is why, as we continue to read, our Lord cures a blind man. By getting his physical sight back, this man was experiencing in a physical way what the apostles were failing to achieve in the spiritual realm. And so why is this here, my dear brethren? And here's the point. That fasting and works of penance open our eyes. take away our spiritual blindness, or lessen it, I should say. You know, I want to take you back to the book of Exodus when they're out in the desert. And we read how some of the women gave up their mirrors. And these were not glass mirrors, these were polished metal. But they gave up their polished metal mirrors. Why? So they could be melted down and made into the brazen laver that was going to be part of the equipment, or I should say the sacred furnishings of the tabernacle. And even though they're out in the desert, they built the portable church to take with them. And this brazen laver would be for the washing of hands, the washing of feet possibly also. In other words, it was kind of a purification thing for those involved in offering up sacrifice. So these women, by giving up their mirrors, they were going on a vanity fast out in the desert. But the deeper meaning that can be drawn out of this is that by making that sacrifice, they were going to be able to see more clearly spiritually. When the sun shone on that brazen laver and the sunlight was reflecting, it was glowing with light, it was a symbol of the spiritual, the better spiritual vision that at least they had by making that sacrifice. So this is why we need to give up things that we like to do during Lent. Because if we don't, our eyes will not get open. It's not just a matter of what's the least I have to do to observe the laws of fast and abstinence. No, we need to do things. Women, yes, go on a vanity fast during Lent. Your spiritual eyesight will improve. How about fasting from Facebook? And just by giving up all, at least, or lessening all the social interaction, we're going to see God better. We're going to see our souls better. Not to mention, of course, making sure that fewer sins are committed. Yes, there are sins of vanity. There are sins of that get committed on Facebook. Unfortunately, the immodest pictures can pop up all too easily. What about gossiping? What about scandalizing others? Have you ever scandalized anybody on Facebook by putting anything that was sinful in any way on there? Men, maybe some fast from sports. Why? So that we can see better spiritually. This is what Lent is about, to put aside these things that take up so much of our attention during a great part of the year, and granted, you know, it can be lawful pleasures. But the ones that especially that might be used sinfully, those we have to use or really restrain, well, use these things properly so that we will, when we go back to them, not be using them in any sinful way at all. So this is my prayer for you as I ask you to make it your prayer for me that our spiritual eyesight gets better during Lent by the things that we will give up. And you have to do it in order for it to happen. You have to try it. If we don't try it, we won't get that spiritual benefit. But we will see God more clearly. We'll see our soul more clearly. We'll see what Jesus did in his sufferings and passion and death to redeem us. We'll understand better. It will be fortified for the rest of the year. Our soul, the garden of our soul, will get plowed so we can have a great harvest. So let us encourage one another by our prayers, by our good deeds, and of course by our example in having a devout and fervent observance of this Holy Lenten season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.